it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for the first win of 2025, Keith?
Yes, I am, Jones. Woo, what a time. What a ball game. How about that?
It was something.
They're on the board.
They are on the board. It was not easy.
No, but nothing is.
It was quite a wild
nothing
ride.
Nothing worthwhile ever is.
No, that's a good point. It was quite a wild ride. The ups, the downs, the highs, the lows.
Everything in between.
But they pull out a 33-27 victory, just barely, over the Miami Dolphins, their first win in Miami since 2019.
The Antonio Brown game.
The singular Antonio Brown.
So now they know they don't need Antonio Brown to win in Miami. It took them 6 years,
they
but here we are.
They disproved that theory, finally.
What a game. It literally did have everything, though. Like, it was one of those games. You have missed extra points. You have 50-yard field goals. You got kick return touchdowns, punt return touchdowns. Coaches coaching for their lives. You have all kinds of just wild play penalties. You like penalties. Boy, howdy, do we have a game for you. You like guys hopping off sides. You got like guys false starting. We have a game for you. But, yeah, both teams at times seemed a little bit desperate. At times, you felt like the game was won for each team, and then it was lost for each team. Like it was a crazy game. Now, maybe both teams are bad. We'll see. But it was very entertaining. I'll give them that. For an entertainment product, this was entertaining.
Well, you mentioned the penalties, the lack of discipline. 12 more penalties for the Pats in this game. They didn't turn it over. That's a step in the right direction compared to Week One.
Yeah, yeah.
They continue to give up big plays on defense, but the good news is A, they won. B, Drake May looks like his plate is just fine.
Yeah.
He looked pretty dialed
the
in.
Right size plate.
All day long. I feel better about McDaniels coming out of the game and the play calling. So you want to ride that roller coaster week to week, which a lot of people do in the NFL. I'd say it's arrow up after the victory. There's definitely things they can clean up, and we'll talk about it all day long. Here on a Patriots Monday, Jones and Keith will talk to Hunter Henry. We'll talk to Christian Ellis.
10:30 for Hunter.
Every Monday. Oh, is that? That's
yeah,
been
just
updated.
Confirmed. Yep,
10:30. Okay. I thought we were going to talk to him here shorter than that, but 10:30, that's been updated. Good to know. So mark that down. We'll get surprising questions and
sure will.
Everything else from the game yesterday. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. That's also your text line. You can interact Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Better or worse than you expected, Keith? We both picked them to win the game. I don't think either of us felt great about it on Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
We were not overly confident, but we did pick them to win. Was that better or worse than you expected?
So how about this? Not to avoid the question.
Mm.
Both. I feel better.
It's not avoiding the question. That's answering.
It is an answer.
The entirety of the question.
You were expecting a better or worse.
Yes.
I gave you a third option.
Better
both.
And worse.
Yeah, because I feel better about the offense. I feel worse about the defense. That's why. So a win is a win is a win. You will take the win. I think this is Drake May's best performance in the NFL. He was excellent. It was darts and scampers. This is going to be the key for Drake May. Darts and throwing darts. And scampering with the ball.
Darts and scampers.
Darts and scampers.
Get the hashtag going.
I know. I think I haven't heard that anywhere else.
I definitely haven't.
And if I did, I apologize. I want to give credit to such a great idea. But darts and scampers. 19-23 passing, 230 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 turnovers, and then 10 carries. Only 31 yards, but he had the touchdown, picked up some first downs, kept plays alive, and it wasn't the silly like, oh, see, I'm sliding, don't touch me. It was, let's run, pick up some yards, get out of bounds. Be smart about it. Be smart. They ran the ball extremely well. But Drake May, in the NFL, has never looked better. So that you have to feel really positive about. But then defense, having a hard time getting off the field, giving up these big plays, another 300-yard passer on the other side, some of the touchdowns that they had to Achane, the one to Waddle. Like, I thought the defense was going to be a lot better. I know the Dolphins have some weapons, but you saw them in Week One. They look like they're ready to bail. Like, they got smoked. They only scored 8 points in Week One. Mike McDaniel, who I think can be a good offensive coordinator, but I just, you know, you went in thinking like they weren't going to be much in the Patriots defense, even without Christian Gonzalez, which we can discuss more today. I know the morning show asked Mike Vrabel about Christian Gonzalez. I thought they'd be better than this. you know, 20. I know they gave up a special team touchdown, but 20 points. But the way they were able to do it, I don't know. I had higher expectations for the defense.
It's another mediocre quarterback that shredded.
Yeah,
Geno shredded them. Tua shredded them. I think it was 6 incompletions. One was a pick, and a really bad one at that. But yeah, that's another mediocre quarterback. Not a bad quarterback, but a mediocre quarterback that shredded you. So I have concerns about the defense. I have concerns about the lack of discipline. But I agree with you. Drake May threw a couple of darts for touchdowns.
Darts and scampers.
And booty.
Yeah.
He scampered for another one. 6-yard touchdown run after a massive throw to Ramondre Stevenson. Wheel route for 55 yards. Those came within a 3-play span. Hit him for 55 yards on a 3rd and short. Gibson had a run in the middle. And then May was able to run it in. He ran 10 times, which I think is a positive. Not a lot of designed runs. But he ran 10 times in that game. We both took the under on 5.5, 6.5 rushes, whatever it was, on Friday. We were wrong. He ran more,
yeah,
which
no,
is good.
Great.
I think that's a really good sign.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
Me neither. And I think one of the things that we wanted to see was let him sling it, let him be himself, cut him loose. And I think Josh McDaniels improved with some play calls, some well-timed screenplays to Ramondre Stevenson, Trey Hendrickson, or Henderson, rather. And I think he called a better game, but I think some of it was also letting him be him. Don't prevent him from running the football. Mm-hmm. Don't get two in his head. And that was a criticism that Mike Vrabel allowed us to enter into last week. And I feel a lot better coming out of the game, despite how up and down it was, how back and forth it was, how the Dolphins punched him in the mouth. They did have to respond. And if you want to take it glass half full between May and their response to getting punched in the mouth, I think those are some of the positives coming out of the game.
Yeah, and you know, one thing, and we knew this going in, like if they were going to be able to run the ball, they were going to be able to have success. And they did. They ran the ball. And so they never really, and they played from in front, so they never really had to go away from that game plan. Like, I think Vrabel's probably happy with it, even though we know it's not his offense. But I think the Vrabel, you know, team, fingerprints on the team would be running the ball and kind of dominating that way, which they did. But then it also allowed them to still, you know, have a very successful passing game. I bet this is how Vrabel honestly probably drew it up. If you were like, hey, it's roughly 50-50 run pass,
100%.
No turnovers, I'll give you 230 yards passing, he'd be like, yes, please, give me that. And if and I guess it turns out it's going to be a big if you get better performances from your defense, then you can win games this way, right? Like maybe you can't beat the Ravens or the Bills, but you got to start somewhere. You got to be able to beat the bad teams. The Dolphins are a bad team. And so that formula, at least offensively, is one that can work.
617-779-7937. It's how you jump in all day long here on Jones and Keefe. We have what happened in week 2 of the NFL coming up about an hour from now at 11:30. We do that every Monday in the NFL season. We'll also talk to Hunter Henry coming up about 15 minutes from now. Christian Ellis later on in the program. We'll get to the Red Sox and Yankees. Big weekend there as well. Again, with all your phone calls and texts throughout the show. Mike Vrabel talked about his team's ability to come through in a tight game. Here's what he had to say after the game.
You know, we unfortunately just gave up the punt return, but then answered,
fast.
And Gibby answered, and that unit answered. So again, I felt like we were willing to get into a street fight. We had a little lull, and we didn't pack it up and quit.
So there are things I thought Vrabel, like immediately, I thought Vrabel would come in and clean up some of the bad penalties and poor alignment and, you know, some of the nuts and bolts aspects of coaching that I thought he'd be really dialed in on. The attitude, though, I feel like you did see some of that yesterday with the team and their ability to come through. Now, they were bailed out. The Dolphins were really stupid. They had penalties. Achan stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
Patriots had some big mistakes as well. The kicking game was a mess yesterday, which is another thing I thought they'd be more on top of.
Ugh.
Incorrect. So I'm not saying it was perfect, but I do like that Vrabel's trying to build the attitude. I don't know if you saw the video of him in the locker room after the win. I'm happy to be your coach. He's handing out game balls. It seems like he has guys on board with him. Now, that happens when you win. Guys were on board with Mayo last year,
100%.
Week one.
Right.
But I do feel like that culture building is something that should be a strength of Vrabel's. I think you saw some of it yesterday.
They should tell Morgan Moses the snap count, though. It's not fair for him to not know what the snap count is. That's not going to help the team at all. But
what do you have, 3?
Yes.
He had three.
The team had 12 accepted penalties, but they had more than that.
Henderson had 3 holds. I think only 2 were accepted, so those were the biggest offenders.
Brutal. Yeah, and then Campbell had a penalty. Hunter Henry, who we're going to talk to, had a penalty. Like, then they had some offsetting penalties, so they actually got flagged way more than 12 times. It went in the books as 12 penalties for 75 yards. which again, you can't do. You're not good enough to get away with that. You know, games can be won and lost that way. So that part is frustrating. I'm with you. I thought that would be one area that has been would have been cleaned up from Mayo. So far, it hasn't.
No.
You know, week one, a lot of penalties. Week two, even more penalties. So that's something that they need to figure out. And what's odd, too, and they were talking about it on the broadcast, like, it's not just the rookies. Like, the rookies or the second-year guys, you're kind of like, okay, whatever.
No,
like
Moses has been in the league a decade.
12 years, and he had so many penalties. So that was frustrating to see. But, yeah, I mean, just the whole idea, like, them kind of sticking with it. They needed a big special teams play to come back, but then they also needed some defensive stops, which weren't really coming their way. I mean, in the second quarter, they gave up two long drives, as the Dolphins are getting, like, booed off the field, by the way. The Dolphins are playing so bad, the crowd hates them, they're down a point. The Patriots have a one-point lead. Now, it felt like they should have been up by way more than that, but they weren't.
It felt like they were blowing them out.
They were dominating the game.
Next thing you know, you're like, oh, crap, the Dolphins are winning.
Well, when the second missed extra point is just so deflating, and you're, like, looking at it, you're like, you should be up. For some reason, 12-0 and 14-0 feel like completely different scores.
I completely agree. Do you agree with Vrabel when he's like, oh, I had nothing but confidence in Borga. I had nothing but confidence in you. He said it this morning with Greg.
Disagree. They were going to line up and go for it.
Yeah, and so he's like, look, man, and this is from the video in the locker room. He said the same thing to Greg. He said it after the game.
No.
But like, oh, I had nothing but confidence in you there, Andy.
No, they should have left him in Miami. I'm like, you went to Miami. You probably have like a house here or something or an apartment. Like, stay here. You're good.
Your take again, and that's coupled with Parker Romo kicking 5 field goals last night on Sunday Night Football.
Blasting field goals, right, Nick?
The guy
no
who,
doubters.
I've never seen
right
three
down the
field
middle.
Goals look more like misses in my life.
What a hater over there, Nick.
You hate Parker Romo.
5 for 5, Parker Romo.
Player of the game.
Knocking down kick after kick, meeting his teammates right after the game.
Guy's a stud.
You've said, Keith, it's going to cost him a game. The kicking is going to cost him a game.
It looked like it was going to cost him yesterday's game.
They're lucky it didn't yesterday.
It did. 100%. He had a missed field goal in week one, which, you know, butterfly effect, who knows how it would have played out. And then this one, you have two missed extra points. So then you're kind of like chasing it. Like, when do you go for two? When do you not go for two? Your opponent's thinking the same thing. And it's just after a touchdown drive to go sit back on the bench and look up and it's 6-0. Brutal. And then it's 12-0. You're like, wait a minute. What even is
this? We should have more points.
Yeah, this sucks. But then out of nowhere, then he's like, kicks a 53-yarder. And you're like, wait a minute. Now I don't know how to feel about this guy. But still, arrow down.
The Chad Ryland book where you're just like, where the hell did this kick come from?
You can make kicks now. Confidence level on the 53-yarder like was sub-zero.
Oh, I didn't even have time to tweet it out. I was about to be like, this has zero chance, and then he made it. I was like, oh, okay, I'll holster that one.
Good kick, Andy.
Got to start backing up on the extra points is what he's going to do.
53-yard extra points.
So the Patriots may very well have a kicking problem. They win in Miami. That's the Pepsi key takeaway. It's brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Monday all day long here on WEEI. You heard Mike Vrabel this morning. If you missed any of it, use the rewind feature and go back and listen on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. It's a good way to catch Drake May later on today on WEEI Afternoons. We're going to talk to Hunter Henry later this hour. We'll talk to Christian Ellis in the 11 o'clock hour on a Patriots Monday. And we'll get to all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Were the Patriots lucky yesterday? Was it better or worse than you expected? Who stood out? And when it comes to Drake May, did he turn a corner?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That feels good. That feels good. It took everybody. I think that's the biggest thing. It took everybody. Special teams, offense, defense, trainers, everybody helps us out. That one felt good. And I'm just proud of our guys for just sticking with it. So many ups and flows of the game, ebbs and flows, and it's just proud of the guys. That one feels good.
Patriots beat the Dolphins 33-27 yesterday in Miami. First win of the year. First win for Mike Vrabel in New England. First win in Miami since 2019. Drake May really good. Only 4 incompletions. 19 out of 23. 230. Couple of darts, Keith.
Darts and scampers.
One scamper from 6 yards out. He had 10 carries for 31 yards. I know a lot of people don't want to see him run. I think those people are wrong.
Yeah, they clearly are.
And I think yesterday is an example
of
that.
It's the most comfortable he's looked. And part of it was I think he knew he could scoot a little bit. And I think some people that don't want him to run, I don't know if they're envisioning something that no one's really asking. Like, hey, tuck the ball and like smash mouth football. Or like, no, just when it's there, take it. Take the extra yards. Don't just like lay down and try to live for another play.
And
like,
he's clearly athletic enough to do it.
He absolutely is. Yeah, he definitely is. But I also think his confidence goes up. Like, I think he feels better doing it that way. I think a lot of, you know, the success he had in North Carolina was being kind of more of like that dual threat type of quarterback. And he's just probably more in, I don't know, he felt like a much different quarterback week to week. And part of it was how he was using his legs.
I heard Phil Perry after the game on NBC Sports Boston. I thought he had a good observation about a comment that May made after the game. He's like, Miami was in a ton of zone coverage. The reason they're in zone defense is because of the threat with his legs. They don't want to turn their backs.
Right.
They don't want to let Drake May run while they have their backs turned to the line of scrimmage. And he's picking up easy chunk yardage. His running changes the way the Patriots are defended. And I think that makes a massive difference. He's a guy you have to account for as opposed to just a dead duck back there. It makes the offense more dynamic. Right. I think you saw it on the play to Ramondre. The threat of him running and rolling out to his right and hucking it downfield and going through his progressions, that's Drake May when he's at his best. I think that's the best singular play he's made in a Patriots uniform. And you said it's the best game he's played.
Yeah, definitely the best game he's played. And even if you don't like the quarterback rating number, his quarterback rating was almost 30 points higher than his best game from a year ago. So just like another metric to sort of prove to you like just how good he was. Only 4 incompletions on 23 passes. So he was incredibly efficient, 3 turnovers. And with him, maybe the most important thing, no turnovers, no fumble. You know, didn't throw that pick, you know, late in a game or anything like that. He was excellent. And real quick, because you mentioned it, the play to Ramondre Stevenson. How about that catch, too?
Incredible
that
catch. Incredible hands catch for anyone, never mind a running back.
No, and a big running back. They were talking about on the broadcast. Like, that's a big running back going down the field, extending his hands, 55-yard gain, and holding on to the ball because you have all these defenders coming, throwing their arms in there at the end. We know Ramondre has dropped the ball in the past, so he also, I'm not going to go as far as say it was his best game, but he had a great game, Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah.
He's had games in the past where he's like ran all over teams, but like this was great to see. I did not expect whatever it was, 88 yards receiving from Ramondre Stevenson. In fact, he'd be the third back out of 3 that you'd expect to have that kind of receiving game, but he was excellent.
Football Talk on WEEI presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone back in the original hit series, Tulsa King.
Ooh.
Keith.
Oh!
This season, Dwight is facing his most dangerous adversaries yet, which is saying something, forcing him to fight for everything he's built to protect his empire. You can stream the new season of Tulsa King Sunday, September 21st, so this Sunday exclusively, on Paramount Plus. Check it out there. We asked the question, has Drake May turned a corner? And I saw Twitch chat right when we asked the question. They're like, boy, we've gone from, is his plate too full to has he turned a corner really fast? Well, yeah. I mean, he looked like garbage week one.
Life
he looked great last
fast
week.
So,
yeah, I mean, yes, we did pivot quickly. Yeah. We're giving him credit for how he played this week and criticizing him for how he played last week. I do think McDaniels changed some things. Mm-hmm. So I think there's more to, did they overload him week one? Did they let him be himself week one? I definitely still think there's something to that narrative, and I think they switched it. Do you think he turned a corner yesterday?
He definitely looked a lot more comfortable. I do think that the team helped him out a great deal. And whether you want to credit McDaniels or Ramondre Stevenson or the offensive line, because they were able to run the ball effectively and then play from in front, I'm not taking credit away from Drake May, but I'm just saying like that is the script for any quarterback to have a successful day, right? Like, what, he had the lead most of the time that he had the ball? Like, that's pretty good. And they were able to gain, what they gained per carry in the game? It was something like
4.2.
Yeah, so, like, you'll take that, right? Because that certainly wasn't what it was the week before. Ramondre was almost at 5 yards a carry. Gibson was over 5. Right, it was some of Drake May's runs that actually brought the team total
down. True. Drake was 10 for 31. So, yeah, he brought the average down for sure. Yeah,
well, it was those kneels at the end.
Well, good point.
Oh, there's also that. So, but I also think, like, yeah, he was incredibly confident. And so to get a game like that under your belt, to go into Miami, where even Tom Brady struggled in Miami, and to get a win, that obviously has to help. But now we just need to see it snowball. And, like, does he have more game? Now, he's not going to play every game like that. But now that he has that one under his belt, you know, what are the chances it can lead to another one and another one?
Drake May, after the game, talked about Mike Vrabel getting his first victory for the Patriots. Here's what he had to say about his head coach.
Yeah, that's awesome. They're just rallying around coach, how much he cares about us, how much of a player's coach he is. I took that football, the one I need there, and gave it right to, you know, stick or equipment guy, and let coach get that ball. So that means a lot, and I think it meant a lot to him. So, you know, it took everybody, but, you know, obviously he's leading the charge, and, you know, that meant something special.
They have stick.
He gave it to stick.
They have stretch.
Yeah.
They have the milkman.
It's hard to keep track.
It's hard to keep track of all the nicknames. That is true. If you want to read into anything, and I think you have a take on Vrabel and how he's kind of handling some of these personalities on the team. Vrabel handed out game balls after the game. May didn't get one.
Mm.
Like, Borgalis got one.
Shouldn't have.
The milkman got one.
Yeah, he deserved it.
Marte Mapu got one.
Gibson
and Ramondre Stevenson got him. May didn't. Is there anything to read into there where it's like, hey, man, this is what we expect out of you?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah, and I think, you know, every good coach can't coach every single player the same. Like, I think you have to know which guys need to be built up a little bit more, which guys need the motivation, all that. And for somebody that has just plopped in, you know, has known these guys less than a year, you got to kind of figure that out on the fly. Because I don't think it's, you know, shocking that he was talking up Andy Borgalis after two missed extra points, which I'd like, forget it. Find somebody else. Like, I'd be done with him. But he's not. And at least for the time being, he's going to talk the guy up. Also, Will Campbell, he's like, oh, no, he didn't. He just pointed. He didn't false start. No, he did false start.
But he absolutely thought he false started.
Like, I was like, I don't know. Am I looking at the wrong thing? Like, he did. But he feels like, hey, I'm going to talk up these rookies, right? Maybe like they're 2 weeks in, their head's probably swimming with what it takes to be in the NFL, and he's at least letting those guys know that they have the confidence in the head coach, and now you got to get the results now going forward, but that's how he feels like he has to coach them. And then I guess conversely too, Drake May has his best game of his career, but apparently doesn't get a game ball. Like, okay. Right,
so, that's coaching, right?
It is.
So if Vrabel's doing that intentionally, and my guess is he is, he's coddling Borgalis, mm-hmm. he's coddling Will Campbell, and then he's telling Drake, well, yeah, this is what we, 230 and two touchdowns? Yeah, I expect that out of you.
That's a day at the office.
Mac Jones had better numbers yesterday, for God's sake.
Mac Jones was having a ball game.
Look, not that I'd take Mac Jones over Drake.
No,
I wouldn't.
No.
But yeah, we expect that out of you every single week. And so making him earn a little more, if that's Vrabel by design, that's coaching. And when we talk about building culture and the changes from a year ago, I think that's the kind of stuff that I believe in Vrabel for. Text line, you knew we were going to get some of these.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if it's directed in the right place.
It is not, but read it.
617-779-7937. So last week, WEEI hosts and fans said they would rather have McCarthy than May. Is it the same now? LOL.
I don't like McCarthy. I've never liked McCarthy. I didn't like him in Michigan. I didn't like him in the draft. I said he's the sixth of the six quarterbacks in the first round. So maybe some hosts said that, but you and I did not.
No, we did not. Now, I think we gave McCarthy credit for the way he played in the fourth quarter.
He had a good fourth quarter, but
We pointed out he had done something that Drake May had never done, which was a fourth quarter comeback. So I think we pointed all of that out, but I don't think either of us ever said we'd take May over McCarthy. That was our guest tomorrow, Tommy Tuesday at High Noon, who clearly said that.
Right. He did. No, we did not. Although, I'll tell you one, this was a big blow to the Caleb Williams greater than Drake May weeks.
You get Drake May or you get J.J. McCarthy. Who are you taking?
I would still take J.J. McCarthy.
All right.
You're saying it.
That's
a guess.
No, but for me, let's put that to the side, because I don't like J.J. McCarthy. But Caleb Williams, he was terrible.
He
was bad again. And I know you know that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
he's
saying, like,
he's
for
been
me,
terrible.
It's hard. Okay. But just yesterday, that was not a good day for him or anybody that thought he was better than May. May was far and away better yesterday.
May had a great, great day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I said earlier it was the best individual play he's made. Some pushback on, didn't he make a great play against Tennessee to tie the game? Sure.
Yes.
That was also like backyard, pull it out of your backs. Incredible play.
No, this was the best start to finish game.
Well, best game.
Yeah.
And that throw to Ramondre, where, again, he had to go through the progressions and find him out there, and it was a great catch by Ramondre. I thought that was a great play by Drake in a Patriots win yesterday, 33-27 over the Miami Dolphins. The Patriots Monday. We'll talk to you all day long on the phones, but we're joined right now by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by Shaw's and Star Market. You can look for the new lower prices everyday tags through the store and save on the items that you buy most, and by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Hunter Henry, how are we doing this week?
Good, guys.
We know you could take losses pretty hard. How's it feel to get not only the team's first win of the year, Mike Vrabel's first win with this franchise, and also the team's first win in Miami since 2019?
Yeah, it feels great. You know, it's hard to win in this league. Obviously, it's hard to win down. It's been hard to win down there in Miami for us, so it feels great.
What do you think of Drake May's performance? Jones and I were just saying we think it's the best he's ever looked in the NFL.
I mean, he played great, man. He guy's a stud, man. You know, he's a special talent. We love being in the huddle with him, love competing with him. So, yeah, it was fun to be able to fly around with him yesterday.
I heard a little snicker in there, so I assume I know where this is going. But lots of debate last week about Drake May and his plate. Is there too much on his plate? We certainly dabbled in it here on this show. So any thoughts on those criticisms of Drake May being overwhelmed?
I got no doubt in Drake at all, man. I'll let you guys try to debate on all those things, man, but we got no doubt in this locker room for sure.
What's the feeling like for the offense after a long scoring drive that ends in a touchdown, but then you see the extra point is missed?
Just move on. Next play. You know, it is what it is. And obviously we know we got to execute those, but you just got to move on and get ready for the next drive.
Similar question, the highs and lows on the sideline when you see the Dolphins bring back a punt return, then Gibson answers with a kickoff return. What's that high and low like on the sideline?
Yeah, that was one of the more crazy things I've witnessed in football. That's just resilience, man, response, just continuing to play, continuing to fight, and then AG obviously making, you know, a lot of guys making some big-time blocks on that, but also AG making a big-time play in a big-time spot.
You see Vrabel motoring up the sideline. Have you seen any of the highlights or images of that? He was cooking.
I did see that a little bit. Yeah, he was moving down the sideline.
What was halftime like for you guys? Because it felt like you were dominating the game, and yet you were only up by 1 point on the scoreboard.
I mean, that's the NFL, man. That's part of it. I mean, these teams, every team's good, especially the Dolphins. They're at home, man, the home opener. We knew it was going to be a dogfight. So, you know, we were ready for it, ready for the challenge, and we, you know, just had to respond.
Okay, you guys won last week. So you're 1-0 with the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week. You know we're bringing it back. Let's hit it.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise. Surprise. We wasted the good surprise on you.
Golly, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, Hunter, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised ever, 1 being not surprised at all, how surprised were you when Destiny's Child broke up?
Good Lord, I was young, man. I was so young when that happened.
1 to 85?
1 to 85. Let's go 45.
I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
Wow, more surprised than the ending of The Sixth Sense.
That is. It's interesting. We're trying to figure out the scale
all
here.
Right. Well, we're gonna keep track of these all year long, Hunter. We appreciate the time joining us every Patriots Monday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. See you, man.
All right, Hunter Thank Henry you. Here on Jones and Keith right. every Monday on WE. Yeah, 45.
See, I
it
feel
was,
like
it was
that a chuckle.
A little
sarcastic
bit,
chuckle?
Maybe.
No.
I was laughing at him. No, that was a real. That was Keith. We're funny guys. That was real. That was a real laugh. That was real humor. I think
that could be like our segment. Was it a compliment? Was it a genuine laugh? So I would say, yeah, he was probably pretty young when
we
that
all
happened.
Knew Beyonce was going places, but to actually see it that they broke
it was
up,
jarring.
It was jarring.
And Kelly Rowland's pretty surprised.
I'd
tell you what.
Oh, Michelle Williams,
pretty
was,
surprised.
Calling up her agent.
Yeah, but wasn't Beyonce's mom in charge of the whole thing? She kind of had a feeling where this thing was headed.
That sounds right.
She was the breakout star.
All right, so he was more surprised at that than the ending of The Sixth Sense.
Correct.
Well,
tune in next week to find
that's
out what
why
else
we
surprises
have, look, you don't know these answers until you ask the questions.
That's right.
We
that's
ask
right.
the important ones every Monday here on Jones and Keith. We'll talk to Christian Ellis later on in the program. Big win for the Pats. Interesting weekend for the Red Sox. Did they do enough against the Yankees? We'll get to it next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chapman stands tall. Glove in his right thigh. He sets. And here's the 0-2. And it is swung on and missed! 101! He stares at Caballero, and the Red Sox say goodbye to the New York Yankees. Maybe the most important win of the season. 6-4. They got all six in the first, and they held on and salvaged the series finale.
Red Sox take down the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball. We'll mix in a few Sox thoughts here on a Patriots Monday. We'll get back to the Patriots at 11 o'clock. We have what happened from week two of the NFL, 11:30. Christian Ellis joins us next hour. So a lot to get to, including how the Patriots get that defense cleaned up, which continued to be a mess yesterday in Miami. But the Red Sox do win on Sunday Night Baseball. They avoided a sweep, Keith. I don't want to call it a good weekend, but did they do enough this weekend against the Yankees?
Man, really, really wanted 2 out of 3. They dominated the Yankees all season. They still had the season series won, even going into this series. But the way that it played out, you know, anytime you win that last one, you do feel a little bit better about it. Like, had they won on Friday and then lost back-to-back games, they'd be in the same spot in the standings, but you'd be, like, kind of limping into your next series. To win, so also, like, added pressure with Crochet. It's a Crochet game. So you got to win the Crochet game, it feels like.
Yeah.
And they did. So, yeah, I don't feel great about it, but an awesome bounce back for Chapman. As much as I wanted him to, like, break his streak of just scoreless and hitless innings.
Yeah, you didn't want a streak of runs.
I didn't want to go the other way. So to get him right back out there in a big spot, to get Whitlock in a huge spot, and then to get Chapman in a huge spot, and for those guys to come through, awesome. And, yeah, you definitely feel a lot better about it. And just, you know, Red Sox, Yankees, you have to get this in the playoffs now. Like, just the way this series played out, the way last night played out, and just – or, like – how into it everybody was. You're just desperate for these two teams to hang on. Hopefully the Sox take them and are the number one wild card. Yankees are the two, so you can get that series here.
So they're 3 up with 12 to go. They have the A's, Rays, Jays.
No way.
And Tigers.
And Willie Mays they have, Hayes.
Is what they have left.
Yeah.
So those feel like, you know, 6 winnable games, 6 toss-up games in there.
Uh-huh.
When I say did they do enough, I'm talking just to limp their way into the postseason.
Well, they're up 3 games on the Tigers who lost yesterday. So I would say, yeah. I'm confident, but not like over the top.
I think they did enough. But yeah, last night didn't feel great. They come out, they score 6 in the first year. Like, you're going to blow them out. It's Crochet on the mound. Crochet... struck out 12.
Bunch of Ks.
Is what I would say as well. It felt like he was teetering by the end. Mats gave up just an absolute shot. Whitlock gives up the leadoff home run to Judge. Then he punches out 3 in a row. The place is electric after the last strikeout. You mentioned Chapman. 11 pitches, 10 strikes, clean inning. So they did what they needed to do, but it felt like
staring guys down.
Yeah, well, that's what he does.
Yeah.
it felt like they were hanging on there at the end. I think they did just barely enough.
Yeah.
Not to call it a good weekend, but they did just barely enough. If they got swept, it would be panic at
look
the disco.
Out below.
Yeah,
it would
seriously.
Be, look out below. It would be like the Mets.
It would have been ugly, especially because your manager.
It's over.
Your manager on Saturday, before they even lost on Saturday.
He's ready to bail.
Oh, he sounds nervous. Here's Cora before the game Saturday.
I think we should stop talking October, to be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and we have to play better. You know, I'm not saying we're in a bad spot, but I think, you know, we have to wait, you know, to see if October is part of this.
Okay.
Yikes. Yeah, no, he's falling apart a little bit.
You agree with him?
Well, yeah, it's just the way he said it, though, doesn't give you a whole lot of confidence in where the, like, it's almost like he's preparing for them to miss out, and then that's when all the excuses would really start. Like, I understand Roman Anthony's not there. But even when Roman Anthony went down, you had a pretty big lead, and you still have Bregman and Story and Garrett Crochet and Chapman. You still have all these guys. You should make the playoffs. You should be in over the Cleveland Guardians and the Texas Rangers. Like, you should be ahead of those teams. But then you lose, what, 6 of 9 games up until yesterday? Like, oh, and the Rangers were on a little bit of a heater until yesterday. So you're like, wait a minute. Like, it felt like this pretty comfortable lead you had was slipping away. And so, yeah, that answer, you're like, oh, boy, like, he, that was in his head.
So I quote tweeted that. I said, if they aren't playing in October, this guy should be gone. They were up 5 with 3 weeks left.
Yeah.
They're still up 3 with 2 weeks to go. Like,
and one of the teams chasing you is a seller, and their closer fixed games.
Thank you.
So, like, please.
So, I don't know. That got, you know, some people being like, yeah, and then a lot of pushback, including from one Lou Merlone. This is a coworker, Keith.
Yeah, it is.
We thought friend of the show.
My friend.
Yeah, your friend.
Maybe not your friend.
He quote tweeted it. He said, this is a dumb comment, and you know it.
Ooh, I thought he was going to say even for you. That would have been a better.
Would that have been a compliment? You.
No,
that's not a compliment.
So boom, roasted.
So actually, I don't think it's a dumb comment. Now, we'll see what happens over these next 12 games.
I don't care what happens. They could have more injuries between now and the end of the year. You're up 5 with 3 weeks to go, and your manager who collapses every year collapses again. See ya.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know if John Henry actually does it, but he should be out of a job. And I know he's lose buddy, and that's fine. But it's a dumb comment. The manager collapses again, up 5 with 3 weeks to go. Sorry, you shouldn't be back.
Right. Well, you know, Roman Anthony injuries. Like, yeah, okay, every team has injuries. Teams are losing guys all the time. You had a big, comfortable lead. You have the Cy Young runner-up. You have the Rolaids relief man. You got all these other guys that are playing really well, and you miss out on it, and you get caught by the Texas Rangers. That's on you. Something has to change.
Okay, 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Red Sox if you want, but it is a Patriots Monday. Pats win 33-27, first win of the Vrabel era. First win of the year and their first win in Miami since 2019. Checking a lot of boxes. It seemed like Drake May turned a corner yesterday. Patriots, maybe, building a little bit of culture, but also very sloppy in that game. Maybe lucky to win the game with Achan stepping out of bounds, surviving the kicking issues that they had yesterday. And, yeah, the defense also struggling. Let's dig into how they get that cleaned up with all your phone calls coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.